Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
And Pastor Todd from the worship team go down. I just want to take a chance to honor the youth worship team. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but they're so dedicated. They meet at least 2 hours a week to practice and play Sunday night at youth. That's on top of their schoolwork, their sports, homework, all that stuff. So, and Pastor Todd has been directing them in that. So I also want to take the time to honor him too. You guys did great. I'm proud of you guys. I'm going to set this right here. I actually also want to honor one more person. Actually, two more. That's Pastor Matt and Pastor Crystal. You guys, we have some of the most amazing senior pastors that I've ever met.
Amen.
Amen. Amen himself. But I just want to thank them for the opportunity they allowed the youth and me to do this tonight. So, are you guys ready to hear a message?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I hope so. Hope you guys are ready. So, pretty much, the message tonight is going to be on the topic of lukewarm church in America. And pretty much, oh yeah, you guys are going to get it. So, pretty much, what I want to talk about is how it got to the place it's at, why it continues to stay in the place it's at, and what we can do to fix it. So, all right, let's pray. Father, we just worship you right now. We thank you for everything you do for us. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you prepare our hearts and convict and correct us during this message. Teach us what you want us to know, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, how many people in here know that God gives people dreams and visions?
Yeah.
So, okay, so most of you know. So, one time, like a few years ago, the Lord gave me a dream. And it was the most realistic dream that I've had. And, I mean, it freaked me out. And so, in this dream, I'm standing there, and the person standing in front of me was a woman. And she was a more mature woman. Her hair was, like, darker with silver streaks in it. So, and she just kept saying, don't lose your childlike faith. And so that's not the weird part. It gets weird. So anyway, so I'm standing there and she's just saying this and I'm not saying anything back. Now, half of her face was smiling, blue, like blue lipstick, blue eyeliner, eyeshadow, whatever it is. I'm not a woman, so I don't put this stuff on. But half of her face was smiling and blue. And now the sad part is the other half of her face was frowning and it was black. It was black lipstick, black eyeliner, all of that. And so it was really disturbing to me when I'd had that dream. And I mean, I went into prayer for hours about it. I sought counsel about it. I was like, what is going on? This dream freaked me out. And so pretty much what the Lord explained to me after hours of prayer is that the woman that was standing in front of me saying, don't lose your childlike faith, was the body of Christ. It was the bride of Christ. And the part of the body that was blue and smiling was the part of the body that's Holy Spirit filled. They're doing the work for God. They're hot for God. Now the black part, which was sad to me, is that was the part of the body that was lukewarm. And so the reason I share this with you is because it made me realize two things after that dream. One, I completely view the body of Christ different than I ever have before. Ever since then, I see the body as one member. We should all see the body as one member. And, you know, we can't do our jobs if part of the body's not working. And the second thing that it made me realize was that there are really people who are in the church that are lukewarm. And it's sad. If you guys want to turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, say amen when you're there. Amen. Revelations chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. I only heard a couple amens. Thad, do you want to read it? All right. Wyatt will read it then. Oh, my gosh. I'll just read it. It's fine. If I can find it. I'm on the page. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So that verse is pretty hardcore. If you guys don't know this, that was Jesus actually speaking to the church of Laodicea, saying that that's what's going to happen. So this is Jesus saying that this is going to happen. I mean, this isn't just some guy being like, hey, yeah, this could happen. This is Jesus actually being like, this is going to happen. And so when I read that verse, it always reminds me of this time back in my life. Who in here was 12 years old before? Who's been 12? Well, some people didn't raise their hand. They must have gone straight from 11 to 13. Well, when I was 12, and everybody in here knows that you get your best ideas when you're 12 years old. And so I used to drink a lot of coffee, and I started young, and maybe that's why I'm so short. I don't know. But, I mean, I would drink mugs of coffee like this big. And so I had this bright idea one day. I was sitting down in a recliner watching TV, and my parents had bought one of those, a cheap laundry hamper, right? And it was all it was put together by was like PVC pipe that was like half an inch thick. And, you know, there was four or more than four pieces, obviously. But it stood together, you know, came about 6 inches apart and then about that wide. And they were connected by elbows, and the net fit right inside of it. And so this thing was taken apart, and I'm sitting there drinking, sipping on this coffee. And I was like, dude, I'm totally going to use that as a straw. And so I pick up this 6-inch piece, or it was anywhere between 6 and 12 inches. And so remember, the hole in it's about that big around. So I'm sitting there, and I start trying to drink this coffee, and I'm going, and I'm drinking and trying to drink, and nothing was happening. I was like, what's the deal, man? And so I was like, all right, I can try just one more time. I was like, this can't fail me. I don't get it. And so I start drinking and drinking, and all of a sudden, this huge burst of coffee shoots into my mouth, like half the cup. And like I said, the cup was like this big. And so this burst of coffee just shoots in my mouth, and I was just like... And I swear, I was shooting coffee like 10 to 15 feet across the room. No joke. My parents were just looking at me like, what is your deal, man? I was like, I don't know. And so, see, for me, the coffee was so hot that I couldn't handle it, that I had to spew it out of my mouth. I couldn't handle that. Now, see, if it was Jesus, he can handle that. Now, what I could have handled was lukewarm, because we're really good at handling lukewarm. But Jesus can't handle lukewarm. So there, do you guys know that there is about 243 million Christians in America alone? And I know that because I looked it up on Google, and that'll tell you everything you need to know. But the sad part about that is only 25% of those Christians actually attend church every Sunday. And so just like with me spewing out coffee, for me it was coffee, but for God it's going to be people, man. Like, there's an urgency that we have to reach the body and the parts of the body that are lukewarm and be able to just, you know, get to those people. The problem is the church has allowed the culture of America to soak in to the body of Christ. And this is how it began. The culture completely, and you guys know the culture of America, right? If it feels good, do it. You know, you want to lie, you want to, you know, do whatever you want. But the problem is people started doing that in the church. And what happened was people started getting a lot more concerned about other Christians' comfortability than their spiritual growth. And that's where we started going wrong. People allowed their mind to be conformed to the world instead of conforming their mind to the image of Christ. They allowed it to soak into the church, and what that does is it affects the true gospel and how it should be delivered to people. So people have this sense of a wrong gospel, a wrong doctrine, that they want to go out and, you know, they want to feel good, they want to sin, they want to live in habitual sin, and they don't want anybody to tell them any different. But I'm going to tell you right now, sin is wrong. Like, I am not afraid to tell anybody. You can ask anybody that knows me. I will tell you if you're sinning. I will tell you. In love, I'm not going to just come out and be like, you're wrong. Except for sometimes I might. I don't know. But I try to do it. I try to do it in love. But a lot of Christians are too afraid to tell other Christians that sin is wrong. They don't want to offend anybody anymore. They're like, why would I want to offend somebody, you know? We can't be afraid to offend people sometimes. What does the Bible say about getting offended easily? It says don't. Don't. We can't continue to allow sin to roam rampant in the church, man. God hasn't called us to do that. You guys want to turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 1?
Romans what?
Romans 6, 1.
Amen.
Hey, Mizzle. Shelby, do you want to read it? Oh, next time. Okay, I'm just going to read it then. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? We're not supposed to live in sin once we've been saved and once we've known Jesus. It's not supposed to work like that. You know, we're supposed to conform to what he wants us to do. Most of you people know I have a son, right? So, yeah, I have a boy. A real boy. Like 3 or 4 years ago where we used to live, we had a playground outside of our apartment where we used to live. And behind that playground was woods and a stream, like a creek or something. And he knew he wasn't supposed to go back there. And so one day I came outside to call him in for dinner or something, I don't know, just check on him maybe. And he didn't respond. I didn't hear any response. I was like, where is this kid at? Man, now I got to get my shoes on and go look for him. So I go, put my shoes on, go downstairs, go out there, and I find him like 400 feet back in the woods where he couldn't hear me playing in the stream with some like ducks or something, chasing ducks and geese. And so I was like, Jarrett, what are you doing? You know you're not supposed to be back here. And he pulled this card, and I'm sure if you're a parent, you've heard this before. Oh, I didn't know. Even though you know that they knew. So I gave him grace. I was like, look, man, just don't do it again. Just, you know, we're worried about you. It's for your protection. Don't go off or we don't know where you're at. And so literally the next day, I go out to call him out again. This kid is nowhere to be found. I go back there, and he's there again. And let's just say this time, man, my grace ran out. Because God, I discipline my children when they disobey me. So I wasn't as gracious this time, but he ended up doing it again anyway. And isn't that just like a kid? You give them a little bit and they take a lot. Yeah. The sad part is a lot of Christians are like that with sin. God gives them grace. They give some grace. They take a little bit and they're like, oh, wait a minute. I'm just going to continue to sin because I have grace. People, that's wrong, man. That's wrong. I know for me in my own life, every time I've ever played the grace card or don't judge me if somebody tries to tell me something that I'm doing wrong, it's always because I know I'm wrong, I don't want to hear it, and I want to continue living in my sin so I can just, because that's my nature. I got sin nature. We all do. We're all filled with sin. Just because God gives us grace, it doesn't mean he's okay with it. It doesn't mean that he's okay with us continually living in sin. And people in here who are like, you know, who've been saved for a while, you know, don't fall into that trap that Satan can't get to you. Because I'll tell you what, there is stuff I haven't struggled with in years. And while I was preparing this sermon, Satan came and attacked me hard and started putting thoughts in my mind of stuff that I haven't done for years. No joke. Don't think that you're safe from sin. Just because you love Jesus, it doesn't mean that Satan can't deceive you. If Satan could deceive Eve, and she walked with God and talked with God, you better believe he can deceive you. We can't use grace as a crutch anymore. Yes, we have grace, but don't use that to live in a habitual sin. It can be devastating. Real devastating. Let me show you in Scripture, if you don't believe me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. I'm going to read it this time. I want people to hear this one, though. Because I tell you, before when I was preparing for this sermon, man, I've read Hebrews so many times, you guys don't even know, man. And when I came across this verse, actually, it was me and Matt Hightower together, and he pointed it out to me, and I was like, I don't ever remember reading that verse. But it's in Hebrews 10:26 through, I think, 31. Amen. Just get ready, because this scripture is pretty serious. It says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth. Did you guys catch that? If we sin willfully after we already have the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law, any of you who don't know who Moses was, he was in the Old Testament, Ten Commandments. Dang it, no, I just lost my spot. Okay. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, and again the Lord will judge his people. Yeah. People, this is serious stuff, man. This is serious. Like, we can't continue to live in sin and expect God to be okay with it, because this scripture says different. It says completely different. We can't continue to live in this mindset like God's okay with it. He's not. He never has been. Adam and Eve sinned once, and he was like, get out of my garden. Get out of my garden. Now, his grace let him live. He kept him alive. He was like, but woman, you're going to have painful childbirth, and man, you're going to have to work. Get your hands dirty. People, God hates sin, and he gives us grace because he's merciful and he loves us. And that grace is the grace that should lead us to repentance, amen, not grace that should lead us into more sin. Amen. There's a few things we can do to be able to change this in the church that we live in nowadays. And the biggest one is to accept correction. We need to be able to accept correction and give correction without people having the attitude of coming across judgmental or pointing the finger. Because people take scripture out of context all the time. Especially one of the biggest ones people take out of context is when, like, or part of the verse that they leave out is when they were going to stone that woman, and Jesus said, who was without sin, cast the first stone. But the second part of that verse also says that he told the lady to get up and sin no more. It says sin no more. We got to be able to accept correction. Proverbs 10:17. It's in the Old Testament. Brittany, you want to read it? What?
Yeah. Those who keep instruction in the way of life, in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray.
Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Let me read it. He who keeps instruction is in... I just want to make sure you guys hear it. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Has anybody in here ever done something that they know they should have never done? And they have been corrected on it? Yeah, I've done that. I've done it a lot. And it always made me feel like deprived and like separation from God. You know, it just worthlessness even. But I remember one time when I didn't listen to correction, and I literally almost died. I almost lost my life because I didn't accept correction in the right way. You know, I was like, I do what I want. And just like physically how I almost died, spiritually that can happen if we allow sin to continue running in our lives and not accepting correction. But people, remember, when you're correcting people, because there's people you should take correction from, and that's pastors, number one, from other Christians, and the Word. You know, take correction from the Word. Actually, a lot of time when people give me correction, I always go straight back to the Word and be like, is this true? Like, most of the stuff, you know, a lot of stuff I know, but there's some stuff that I got to go to the Word and be like, is this true? But we have to listen to that correction. We can't feel like we're being judged. A few months ago, I talked to all the pastors, and I was like, hey, is there, you know, you guys, can you give me some correction in some area? Tell me what I'm doing good. And so Pastor Matt was like, give me a couple of days and we'll talk about it. And so we're in the office and we're having this meeting, and he was like, okay, well, are you ready to hear this? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, all right, well, don't get defensive when I start telling you. I was like, all right, no problem, I won't. He was like, remember, you asked for it. I was like, okay, yeah, come on. And so he starts telling me things. I mean, it wasn't really bad, but immediately my arms start crossing, my composure changes, and literally Pastor Matt was like, look, man, we got to stop for a second. He was like, you are getting defensive. I was like, I'm not getting defensive. He was like, look at your arms. Look at your posture. Try to tell me you're not getting defensive. And so I thought about it, and I was like, you're right, I am. But see, isn't that the mindset we have most of the time? Even when we ask, we don't want to really know. We ask, but we don't want to know. I didn't want to know. Actually, I did, because it actually helped me a lot. But we have to be able to take correction from pastors and other people and just be willing to run with it. See if it lines up with the Word of God. We got to see if it lines up with the Word of God. And if it does, take it. You guys want to turn with me to Hebrews 4:12? It's in the New Testament.
Oh my God.
Hebrews 4:12.
Amen.
You want to read it?
Me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yay.
All right. Discerner. All right. I'm going to read it one more time just because I want to make sure everybody heard it. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. People, this word tells us everything we need to know.
Amen.
You know what a lot of the problem is? Is people don't know what the Word says. They just want to go by anything that they hear. You know, they just don't know what it says. But they want to claim that they do. They think that they do. But yet they don't want to accept correction from it. People, this tells us the character of God. This tells us what God expects of us. It tells us what we should do to be glorifying Him in our own lives. But we can't just pick and choose Scripture, people. We can't pick and choose it. We can't go through the Scripture and be like, lust, that don't apply to me. Pride, that don't apply to me. Greed, don't apply. Unforgiveness, don't apply to me. And I'll see some of you people in here are looking at me kind of crazy for doing that. But what's the difference between me doing it physically and you doing it mentally? There's no difference. What is the difference between me doing it physically and you doing it mentally? I hope you don't care. I just did it there. And just for you guys that are concerned if I really ripped the Bible, I didn't. It's some book called Armageddon. I couldn't bring myself to rip the Bible. But I just want to illustrate a point to you guys. What's the difference? What's the difference? There's none. You might do it physically or mentally. Man, one of the biggest excuses I hear from Christians, it's sad, is that the Word of God was written, the Bible was written by man, so it's flawed. Dude, when people tell me that, I have to bite my tongue from freaking out sometimes. I mean, because these people are saying this stuff, but you're telling me that you believe in a God that created the earth in 6 days, who made man and woman, the stars in the sky, the universe around us, caused a woman, a virgin, to bear a son, Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, who then walked the earth, healed people, raised people from the dead, then he died a bloody death on the cross, only to conquer death and come back so we can have salvation, and you're going to say that he's not powerful enough to make sure his word is exactly how he wants it today? For real? It's just, it's ridiculous, man. And I run into these kind of people all the time, Christians. And it's what we got to watch out for. We have to be the people that set an example. Amen. We are conquerors with Christ. We're not people that are just going to roll over for sin. We have to allow the Word to correct us. Amen. It's real. It's real. People, have you ever read a scripture and then sat there and all of a sudden it just jumped out at you and you feel that little bit of conviction? Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit being like, hey, I'm alive, man. Change this in your life. Change this in your life.
Amen.
And I will tell you right now, if you start getting that nudge and you don't change your life, God, it says in the Bible that they'll give you over to sin. People, when you feel that nudge, you got to change.
Amen.
Because you don't want your heart to get hardened in an area and be like, oh, it's fine. Now you're in habitual sin. You guys know when I was calling out sins when I was ripping this fake Bible? And I said unforgiveness? I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. Because people, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, that will lead to multiple offenses of habitual sin. And one of them, Pastor Crystal talked about last week, bitterness.
Yeah.
It leads to bitterness. It leads to anger.
Yeah.
It leads to jealousy and strife. It can cause conflict within the body of Christ. And it could end up with hate. Multiple offenses of habitual sin because you don't want to be forgiving. When the Lord calls us to be forgiving in His Word, we got to be forgiving. Got to be able to accept this correction. How are we going to grow spiritually if we don't accept correction from what the Word says? There's no way. I mean, God didn't call us to be Christians and just come to church and sit here on Sunday or sit here on Wednesday and just pretend. We're supposed to live it. You know, people in other countries, when they say, the reason this is why I'm mostly talking about the American church, is because when they say that they follow Christ, they follow Him because they can lose their life. People, part of the problem, I think, is what had happened is that we do have freedom of religion, but we also have freedom to do whatever we want. So people aren't afraid to just do whatever they want and then come to church. Their life's not on the line. But in other countries, their life is on the line. They can get killed for having a Bible. And we take it for granted. We got to get in the Word. I believe that there is a serious problem today in the church in America for being with lukewarm Christians. That is undeniable. You can see it everywhere. The way people walk, the way they act, the way they talk, the way they laugh about sin in their life and other people's lives. People, the gospel's free. It doesn't cost anything. It costs us nothing, but it demands everything from us.
Amen.
And that means our sin. We have to be willing to give that up to God when He has called us to live according to His Word. Because I'll tell you this right now. Yes, we're saved by grace. But if there wasn't stuff that the Lord wanted us to do, it would have been like Jesus died on the cross, He raised from the dead, that's it, story over, bam. That's all I want you to do. All I want you to do is believe in me. You don't have to change your life. Do whatever you want. People, we got to change our mindset. We got to be able to look in the Word. And I mean, when I say look in the Word, I mean daily. You need this in your life every day. Every day. You got to be able to accept correction from pastors. You got to be able to accept correction from the Word. We got to just stop living like Jesus don't see what we do, because He does. And the reason I preach a message like this is because I love people. I love people. And I don't want to see anybody go to hell. I wouldn't want to see anybody get spewed out of God's mouth when the whole time they've said that they live for Him, but really they live for themselves. You guys want to bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, thank You for this time that we can come to worship You. We just love You and we adore You. Now, I'm not going to have anybody in here raise their hand or anything, because this is between you and God. But people, now is your chance. If there's anything in your life that you know that you've been living in habitual sin and you need to repent, God will forgive us if we repent. But He'll give us over to sin if we continue to do it. So right now, if anybody's in there, just take this time. Take this time to ask for forgiveness and be repentant. God loves us and He wants the best for us. But we got to stop living in sin. It's got to be something that we change if we want the church to be effective. Father, we just love You. We thank You for what You do in our lives. And Holy Spirit, for the people that are in here, I just pray that You just work on their heart. People that need it, Father, just work on their heart and correct them. Allow them to accept it. We love You and worship You. We honor and glorify You, Lord. Father, just thank You for all the people in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.